It's 7 p.m.
Yes,
Thursday,
it is.
And this is All About Wine.
Yeah.
With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron.
Ron.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. And basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
HaverHill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 at the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery. We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushu Park in Montana.
Famous Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Yeah. There we go. A bunch of people are here. And I'm solo tonight. This is Mike. I'm usually the behind-the-scenes producer person, come up with the audio clips and get the guest on the show. And tonight is going to be a little different. So we'll just sit here. I'm just kidding. Ron is not going to be with us this evening. He is doing last week he was doing a tasting this evening. So let me go back to my notes. I believe he's doing a tasting somewhere in here. So he will not be joining us tonight. And as a result of that, we may actually have a bonus show next Thursday, which is, I believe, let me go to my map here. Yeah, next Thursday is, wow, it's already on us. It's already Thanksgiving. It's already the holidays. The holiday season is here. We have a station here in the Tampa area that is already playing holiday music 24/7. That's right. Already. It's not even, you know, we got not through one holiday. They're already playing the holiday season, Christmas, if you want to call it, music. 24 hours a day. That's wow. At this rate, maybe in a few years, we'll be listening to holiday music in June, or maybe even, who knows? that was not necessary. Anyway, so Ron is out, and I'm just grabbing my paper. Sorry. You kind of caught me. Ron is out tonight, so it's just me, and I decided to pull from the archives and do a best of. I was listening to some clips earlier, because I keep not only are the archives available on Blog Talk Radio, but before we were on Blog Talk Radio, we were on two different other places. One was 1000 Mics, and the other one was TalkShoe. I think we were on TalkShoe for a while, and that went both of those went really well. And then we settled on Blog Talk Radio, and I've kept archived audio shows of like almost the past 2.5, 3 years now. So when this started, and you have to excuse me real quick, because I still have a cold. I don't know why. But so anyway, what I pulled from that was a show from 2009. It was May, I believe it was, 2009, May 23rd, somewhere around there, from the archives, and decided to play that for you tonight. So it is going to be a best of, and it's actually the first best of we've had, although we've kind of announced best ofs in the past. This is just the actual time it's going to come through. But I had a couple other choices. I was going to play like different clips from different guests that we've had on, and it's kind of hard to piece together when we've had so many great guests. You know, who do you put on, and you know, which part of their conversation, and you know, that kind of thing. Because it's been very interesting over these past 2 years. We've had some great guests appear on the show, and you know, tell us about what they have, what they offer, their state, and everything like that. And it's been really interesting. So we've had some really great. Great people on here, and I was going to have a guest to come on tonight, but there was some issues in communication there, maybe last minute, I don't know, but I don't know if they were available or not, but it didn't sound like it through the emails that I received, so it's just me and the Best Of Show tonight. I had a couple of options. I was going to choose between three options. The first one was to go back to France. I had several clips. We did France for several weeks, and part three was I found that one, and I thought I could do part three. My second option was to do a show on wine bottles, and because wine bottles was actually very interesting. And the third one, the third option. There were three options. It was wine bottles, France, and then the third option, that was the third option. I don't know. Only thing I think of was the EPA. What was it? All right. Anyway, so we're going to – anyway, I selected wine bottles. So tonight we're going to do wine bottles, and in case you missed that, there's a joke in there somewhere, but we're going to do wine bottles tonight. So I'm going to start playing that now and let y'all listen to that. This is from May 2009, I believe it was May 23rd, 24th, somewhere around there. I'll have to go back to my file name and take a look at that. And then at the end of it, I'll give you contact information for Florida State's Winery, for Ron and the winery up there in Land Lakes, Florida, which is just up the road from here, and give you all that information afterwards. And Hope Ron is enjoying his wine tasting tonight, and you know, good with that. And if you're out there enjoying your wine, good to do that. And if you want to call, unfortunately, this is a recorded segment for 53 minutes. So if you want to get on the air, that's not going to be possible for 53 minutes, a little over about 54 minutes. But you can still call. We'll pull you in the screening room and you know, see what you have to say. And you know, who knows? Maybe we'll put your comment on afterwards. But right now, let's go ahead and listen to the show on wine bottles. Very interesting. This is Ron, and actually, I think I've been there as well for a little bit, but Ron has the information on wine bottles right now on Blog Talk Radio. This is All About Wine. This is Mike, and I'm going to play this now, and see you in about 54 minutes, or 50, no, now it's gone down to 52 minutes. Okay. Well, this is good. Normally, I can just plug these up. Here we go. That's right.
Excellent. I'm going to, you know, bring out a few different things like this. A lot of people are always coming in talking about glasses, or not glasses, bottles, bottle sizes. I always like to bring up some things about bottle sizes. We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available. The most common one that we see all the time is the regular bottle. That's 750 milliliter. The bottles that we use now, the standard size of 750 milliliter, is a rather new size, standard size. Up till the mid-1930s, there was no standard on bottle size. Everyone was using different sizes, and there was a variety of different types of bottles and everything, but there was no standard size. And about the mid-30s is when they came out with the standard size for a bottle of being right around 750 milliliters. Again, we're talking metric here. 750 milliliters. A liter is less than a – it takes approximately 4 liters to make a gallon. That's still not quite a gallon. It's a gallon is 3,780 milliliters. So – 4 liters is going to put you over a gallon by about 200 milliliters. So a gallon, which is the standard here, and everyone in the world uses metric except for us. I think there's a couple of other countries that are still on the systems that we have, but almost everybody in the world uses metric. So when we're talking wine, most of the time we are referring to liters, milliliters, and that type of measures. A milliliter is simply a hundredth of a liter. One milliliter is 1/100 of a liter. So 10 milliliters would be 1/10 of a liter, and it's just, you know, your basic, like money, like dollars, which is a metric system. So the bottles, the standard bottle, 750 milliliters. There are smaller bottles and there are larger bottles. The most common one that we probably are used to that we see as a smaller bottle is the half liter or the 375 milliliter. That is used a lot, refers to as a half bottle. A lot of people call it a half bottle. It's very convenient to get the smaller ones if you're a single person. The wines can be consumed a little bit easier that way, or if you would, well, very expensive bottles, a lot of your high-end wines, your German ice wines and Sauternes and very expensive wines you can find a lot of times in half bottles. That helps defray the cost of a full bottle. Half bottles, or they're called half bottles, or called pony bottles sometimes. They're called a fillet, which is a European term, playing little girl. It's just another term for a bottle or a half bottle. But 375 milliliter bottles are used quite often to, like I say, for smaller amounts. They don't age as well. And when you have a bottle that's 375 milliliter, if you have a wine that will age, say, for 10 years in your liter or in your 750 milliliter bottle, the 375 milliliter will only probably age by maybe 3-4 years. It's not going to give you the time of aging. So when you do get yourself a smaller bottle, it's best to look at drinking it reasonably soon and not trying to push aging on it, because it could go bad a lot quicker than what you would think it would. There's also a half of the pony bottle, or the 375 milliliter. Also called a pony, was probably the most common one that people think of a pony bottle. It's 187 milliliter. It's 1/4 of a regular 750 milliliter bottle, and it's a new world term. It's used basically in the United States and Australia and stuff like that. You're not going to find a 187 milliliter bottle in Europe as much as you will in the United States, and they're still not that common, not that often used, but they are available. There is a 500 milliliter bottle used in Bordeaux quite a bit. That's 2/3 of a 750 milliliter. Used in the Bordeaux region, 500 milliliter. The name of it is a pot, P-O-T. It's for, again, Bordeaux region of France, different red wines coming out of Bordeaux. There is the Imperial Pint, which is 588 milliliters. It's used for champagnes in the Burgundy and Rhone regions of France. You don't see those very often. In fact, a lot of these odd sizes are very rare unless you actually go over there. And they're used for samples and, you know, quick tastings and things.
Okay.
The bottle, again, 750 milliliter, sometimes referred to as a fifth. When that's more often used in whiskey than anything. You get a fifth of whiskey, that's 750 milliliter. A bottle of whiskey usually comes in a liter size. If you're going to get yourself rum or vodka or anything, it's used in liter size. Speaking of vodka, I'm going to step off a little bit into another subject here. The big thing now, I'm reading in my trade journals and I've heard on the radio and stuff, the big thing now is bacon vodka.
Bacon?
Bacon vodka. It's very popular up in the Seattle area. Bacon vodka. And some places are making a bacon vodka, and then they're laying a strip of bacon across the glass as it's served to you. And bacon cocktails. There's different cocktails that are being made with bacon-infused flavors in it. And some cocktails are being used as a... with little chips, a little bacon put in the blender with it and blended in with the cocktails and stuff like that. The bacon is becoming very, very popular in cocktails.
I thought that was quite interesting. And I also want to bring up the point that I guarantee you at this time, I will never, ever make a bacon wine. So, everyone is safe. Yes, thank you. Yeah, I need a bacon. Can you imagine?
No.
But it's popular. I mean, bacon vodka is very, very popular. But no, I will not make a bacon wine. You will never see it on my
great stuff. Excellent.
I need to take a sip of wine while I do that. So one second, please.
Oh, sure. I already had mine.
Now, after the liter bottle, or I'm sorry, the 750 liter bottle, next size up is the Magnum. The Magnum is the larger bottle. It's the next larger bottle that you see. You can find them in liquor stores and wine shops. The Magnum is really pretty popular. It's double the 750 milliliter size.
Wow.
It will hold two of the 750 milliliters. It's 1.5 liters, which, you know, double 750, give you 1.5. Mm-hmm. It's used a lot for champagne bottles, Bordeaux, Burgundy bottles. It's, if a 750 milliliter wine is going to age for 10 years, if you put it in a Magnum, it's not going to just double the length of time. It'll probably double and a half. It'll probably go 24, 25 years. Because the bigger the bottle is, the longer it will take for wine to age. It's just the smaller the storage. So as we get on up to these larger bottles, it starts increasing the time that you can actually age them. A lot of people come to the winery and ask about wines. They say, well, what about these wines that are, they find that are a couple hundred years old and stuff? Or, for example, the Jefferson wines. A few years ago, Thomas Jefferson's estate, they found a cellar with a bunch of wines in it.
Oh, wow.
And people were asking if these were still good. Yes, they probably were. A lot of those were the Magnum bottles. They were not the 750 milliliter. A lot of those that were found were Magnum bottles. And the wines were good Bordeaux, good Burgundies, French wines that were made to be aged for many, many years. And then Jefferson got the Magnum bottles, put them into his cellar in a very cool temperature, and they weren't disturbed. And so, yes, they probably were still good after all those years. But the Magnum will take longer to age, which is, you know, if you're aging some wines, it's a good thing. But a Magnum will also cost you a lot more, too. Not double the 750 so much, but figure pretty close to selling the 750 on your price.
Okay.
Then there's another bottle, Marie Jean, or the Marie Jeannie bottle, which is a 2.25 liter bottle. It holds approximately three 750 bottles, three standard bottles. This was named after a lady from Bordeaux who lived in the mid 1735 to 1786, Marie Jean Ozanne. She was a Bordeaux woman, and the bottle was named after her. You won't see that size much anywhere, but it is out there once in a while. Double Magnum. This is four standard bottles, or 3.0 liters. You take 750 four times, you're looking at 3.0 liters. It's called a Double Magnum. You can find a lot of these wine in a box packages that are double Magnum size. Red Truck, not to give an advertisement for Red Truck wine, but Red Truck just came out with a new 3-liter barrel, what they call a barrel, which is a little round barrel. It's brown, and it's a little metal barrel, and it's got the bag inside and all that. And it's supposed to look like a little wine barrel, and it holds four bottles, or approximately the double Magnum size. So most of your wine in a box that you get, it'll state right on it, this will equivalent to buying four bottles of wine. And this is your double Magnum. This is used to be called double Magnum. Now it's basically wine in a box. Most of your wine in a boxes are that size. So it's originally from Bordeaux, and it's a good size for the wine in a box. It's much bigger. They do make, for the wines as we're getting up in double Magnums and higher, they do make special racks, special pours for. It's a metal pour thing that you can put in it. You can actually tilt the wine so you're not having to hold the bottle while you're pouring yourself a glass of wine. It's just a little metal swing type thing. You put wine in and it just swings down so you can pour your wine and it sets back up. So because of the size of them.
Aren't the double magnum, the wine in the box, aren't they enclosed in like a plastic or something with a plastic nozzle on them? Is that the same one?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Which is good. I mean, you know, if you're looking at having a bottle of wine every night, the wine in the box is a good way to do it. Coming out with some fairly decent ones. In fact, Red Truck is a real nice red wine. I mean, it's a very pleasant red wine. But if you're looking at having a bottle of wine every night, you don't think you're going glass of wine. I said bottle. Sorry, I was just corrected by my audience.
the critics.
Yeah, there's always some.
Does the plastic affect the aging or anything? Or I mean, is it's perfectly all right, just like a glass bottle?
They're not made to age, really. The wines in a box aren't really, really good, are made to age. They're made to be drank. The wines that you're going to find in those usually aren't wines that you're going to age. Those are the wines that you're going to open up and enjoy a glass every night until it's gone. Okay. And the bladder inside or the bag inside that you were talking about, I like to compare it to baby bottles.
Oh, okay.
Everyone's familiar with baby bottles, how the little baggie inside collapses around it. That's the baby sucking it, so the baby's not pulling in a bunch of air and getting all colicky. Yeah, that's the word. It's keeping,
that works.
That works. Yeah. So with the bladder around the wine inside, it works the same way. It keeps the air away from the wine, and so it helps the wine taste just as good from the first sip to the last drop. So this is that one of the good things about wine in the box or something. I have nothing wrong with wine in the box. I'm not such a snob that I see anything wrong with it. There are some drinkable, decent wine in the boxes out there. And if you're looking at entertaining and you can all go out and get a wine in a box and put it in other bottles, and most of the time people won't know the difference. So.
Okay.
I didn't say that. Though. If anybody asked, I didn't say that. Double Magnum, 3 liters. Also a Jeroboam. Jeroboam is another term for Double Magnums. It's 3 liters also. It holds 4 bottles. Usually used for sparkling wines. A Jeroboam is a sparkling wine or champagne-style wines that you'll find in those. It was named after the king of Israel during Rome founding. Jeroboam II founded Rome in 1753 B.C. And so this named after him because of they did. And I'll go on a little bit about naming wines after biblical characters here in a little bit. But the Jeroboam is used for sparkling wines. Now, they also have a Jeroboam that is used for still wines. It's 4.5 liters, or it holds 6 bottles of wine. And then there's a Jeroboam that's in the United States. You can find Jeroboam bottles here in the United States. It's probably the biggest one that you will see in stores, in wine shops, different liquor stores. Some of them have a big bottle. The Jeroboam sitting over there that they, a lot of times it's for show, but they are for sale. And you can find those in wine shops and wine stores around the country. And it's 5 liters of wine, or 6.7 of the bottles. It's they're big bottles, and you got to be careful hauling them around and stuff like that. But a lot of times they're more for show than they're anything. But you can actually, if you're looking at getting a great big bottle, and instead of dropping your pennies into a milk jug, you drop them into a wine bottle. So,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. The Jeroboam is a lot of times used for champagne and for red wines, Burgundies and Bordeaux or red California wines and stuff. You'll find it used quite often for that. The Rehoboam is the next one. This was also named after an ancient biblical character, son of Solomon, Rehoboam became king of Judah in 933 B.C. So we have a 4.5 liters or six bottles worth of wine in the Rehoboam. The imperial is 6 liters of wine. It holds 8 standard bottles. The red wines of the New World, Champagne, Burgundy, and stuff like that. A lot of New World wines. I refer to New World as United States and Australia, New Zealand. These are classified as New World wines as opposed to Old World wines, which is typically referred to as France, Germany, Italy, European wines. The Methuselah. Methuselah was... Methuselah was named after a patriarch, a man in the Old Testament who was described as living for 969 years. The Methuselah wine bottle is 6 liters or 8 bottles of wine. It's a rather large one, and most of the time that's about the largest you're going to see anywhere. Methuselah is a quite large bottle, and that if you might see those sitting around every once in a while in different stores and stuff. That's probably about the largest you're going to run across. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Salamanser, or Salamanser. It's with a Z or an S at the end. That's 9 liters of wine, or it holds approximately 12 bottles of regular wine, or which is a case of wine in one bottle. Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah. Although you don't have the weight of all the bottles.
I guess not.
Yeah, a case of wine, too, by the way, for those of you who want to exercise a little bit, a case of wine weighs approximately 34 pounds.
Mm.
That's the wine in the bottles and the bottles on it, approximately 34 pounds. So. But the Salamanser was a monarch who reigned around 1250 B.C. That's where the name came from. The Balthazar. A Balthazar is 12 liters or 16 bottles, standard bottles. Again, quite large bottle. You get these things, and if you're going to age these are aged for centuries. I mean, you're saving this for your great-great-great-grandchildren and stuff. The Balthazar is a name of one of three wise men. That's the most common reference to Balthazar, is one of the wise men. Next one is 15 liters, holds 20 bottles, is called the Nebuchadnezzar. The Nebuchadnezzar is a king of the Chaldean Empire, I believe that's how it's pronounced, Chaldean Empire of 604 B.C. He was actually the second Nebuchadnezzar. The first Nebuchadnezzar ruled 500 years before him, but he wasn't popular and nobody liked him. So the second Nebuchadnezzar became much more popular. Normally used for champagne, Bordeaux, Burgundy, red wines. Most of the time you won't find white wines put in the larger bottles. It's a rarity, but sometimes you will. But most of the time when you get into the larger bottles, it is for red wines or champagne. Champagne's quite often used in the large bottles. Malacor, 18 liters or 24 bottles. You're looking at 2 cases of wine in this bottle, the Malacor. Malacor is, again, name of one of the three wise men. And the third wise man I mentioned, Balthazar, and the third wise man is Gaspar. So we have wines made after 2 of the wise men. And the last one, you fill with champagne, Bordeaux, Burgundy, again, you're looking at red wines. Whopping 25.5 liters, 34 bottles of Sauvignon. The Sauvignon is enormous. That's your largest bottle you're going to find with any type of wine in it.
Wow.
Just different types of bottles, just for different occasions and stuff like this. Again, a lot of these have been rather recent. I mean, the quality. While I'm talking about bottles, too, I want to point out something about the punk. The punk is that indentation on the bottle, on the bottom of the bottle. The punk originally was used to strengthen the bottle. Bottles were a little bit weaker, and by putting the punk in there or putting that indentation, it gave more strength to the bottle, so it was easier to or less likely to break or shatter. Also, the punk is used for turning the bottles. There's champagne bottles are famous for having their punk. The champagne, a method of fermentation in the champagne is to put the champagne bottles into racks where the champagne bottle is sitting at about a 30-degree angle, neck down at a 30-degree angle. Rows and rows and rows of these racks are in some of the champagne houses in France. And if you let the bottles, if you let the bottle set without turning it, then it starts to build up a sediment along the bottom of the bottle. And the sediment could discolor or just leave a mark there. So these have to be turned a quarter of a turn every once in a while so that the sediment doesn't settle in one spot and so that it continues to ferment properly and all that. So they have people who are called riddlers, R-I-D-D-L-E-R-S, riddlers. These people, men and women, go through and actually turn the champagne bottles a quarter of a turn in these racks. Now, these racks are, you know, hundreds of feet long in the storage, and they go 6 feet tall, and all these champagne bottles there. They don't just turn one and then turn the next. They have such an experience that they can actually go through, and it sounds like a riddling sound, like a as they're turning this. It's just so fast and so efficient. But the way they do it is they put their thumb in the punk or in the hole in the bottom and their fingers on the outside and just a quick wrist twist, a quick little turn, and it turns the bottles. And so the punk or the hole or the indentation in the bottom of the champagne bottles is used quite often for the bottles to be turned. It's easier to grab them, easier to turn them that way. So that's the punk in the bottle. Also, on the neck of a wine bottle, and you'll find a little up toward the top of the neck, you'll find how the neck flares out a little bit before it gets to the top. That was originally used to closures on bottles and stuff. They would not always have corks available, and they'd have different closures, so they would put whatever over the top of it, cloth, leather, whatever, and they would tie it around the neck of the bottle. And that little lip on it kept the tie from sliding off the top of the bottle. And so it's basically tradition. It serves no purpose now for anything. Basically tradition, but that's why that little lip is at the top of the wine bottle. I mentioned a lot of these names of biblical characters, biblical names in it. The earliest reported or earliest recorded bottle being named after a biblical name was in 1725 when Bordeaux made a bottle that was big enough to hold four standard-sized bottles, and they named it the Jeroboam. Who, again, I refer back, was the founder of Israel, from ruled from 931 to 910 B.C. It was a name they picked up because they were familiar with it and all that. There's, the history doesn't really show why it was named after that. And they've continued to name wine bottles after biblical characters simply because it's easy names and not ones that are used quite often now, and so it's just a continuing practice that has basically developed more so in the 1940s and has continued to this day.
Interesting.
So a little bit about bottles. I'm going to cover a little bit about bottles there and talk about a little thing about bottles. People are always wondering about things, and whenever I talk about bigger the bottle, the longer it's going to age. People always are curious about it. So I'm going to cover a little bit about bottles there and different sizes and all that.
Now, you're talking now. Okay, so we know the one is the wine in a box. These other large sizes, are they glass made? I mean, what are they?
Glass. Yeah, they're all glass. I've seen them. I've seen them all glass. I've never seen them any other.
Okay.
Any other materials or anything?
Wow!
I'm sure they can make them out of plastic PET now. I mean, polyurethane is probably possible now with the with the way they can do plastic and what they can do with it and all that. So I'm sure there is a possibility, but only ones I've ever seen. The biggest one I have ever seen, it has been a Nebuchadnezzar. I've never seen a Mount Gora or a Sovereign. I've seen a Nebuchadnezzar, and the thing is that it's 20 bottles, and it's enormous. I mean, it's just when the thing's full, it's almost impossible to pick up. It almost requires two people.
So how do you get the wine out of there? I mean, it has to sit on its side, right?
It sets on its side as it's aging. There's a rack, a pour, carriage, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure there is a special name for it, and if there is, I apologize. I don't know what it is, but it sets on this metal swing thing, and as you're pouring, you actually swing it sideways, and it pours the wine into the container. Actually, it's best to decant that and then pour. You don't pour a glass from this. You actually pour the wine into a decanter or some other container, and then you pour it into your glasses from there. But the ones I've seen are usually made of metal, and it has a door. You set the wine on it, and you close the door around it, so the wine is actually secured inside it, and it swings back and forth at a central point in the bottle, and you can just tilt it and swing it down and pour your wine right out of it that way.
Wow.
Okay. You know, it's sort of cool. It's sort of cool the way they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, those larger ones, you basically decant, and then you pour from there. You put them in another container, and you pour from there. Because it's not practical or easy to pour directly into a glass.
Yeah, okay. Very interesting. I didn't realize there was that big of a size out there like that. That's amazing. I bet the bottles alone are worth quite a bit.
Probably, if you find one. Can you imagine how much you get for simple recycling?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That would be good. A good chunk of change there.
Good chunk of change just for one bottle.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Very good. Let me see. If you'd like to call in, and I can't tell, nobody's in, not in chat. Let's see if they came back here. The phone number to call in is area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All you have to do is dial that number with a regular phone, or you can use whatever you dial out with, and you'll get right on with us, and we'll be able to bring you on the air, and you can ask questions, and it's all about wine. And it is 7:35 now. So let's see what we have here. I'm trying to don't see anything on. Nobody on the switchboard yet. And only thing I'm missing on here is the live stats. I can't tell, who's how many people are out there tuning us in on this. We'll just based on last week. If they listen to last week, they're going to love this week.
Yeah, we're actually here this week as opposed
to
playing around last week for an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, last week was a test. And actually, I think the week before that was a test.
It was a test.
The week before last was, I don't know. I took that one down, but I left last week's up because it was, it was still good. Either way. Let's see, what else? Wow, that was a lot on bottles. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's so much about so many things in wine. It's just, you can get yourself just overwhelmed with, studying stuff and all that. And that's, that's not even going into the wine itself. I mean, that's just, you're looking just. Well,
when you mentioned, how many chemicals and everything, there's like 100, 150 chemicals that goes into, I'm sure that's, I mean, you have to be a chemist to just to, before you even think about doing that.
To break them down, bottle of wine contains a lot of different chemical compounds. And it's just natural fermentation, too. I mean, it's not something that we're going to say, okay, let's add a pinch of this and a drop of this and a grain of this. It's just, it's actually just, as you are fermenting, you're going to get yourself a variety of different chemicals. And that's why people come in and they blame, so often people blame sulfites for what's a reaction that they might get. Most of the time, sulfites is not the culprit. I would say, majority of time, sulfites is not the culprit. But to say, okay, this is probably it, it's almost impossible because there are so many different things that will come out in fermentation.
Okay, so it's not, you're not sitting there mixing 150 things. It's just, yeah, like you said, the natural, the process of making the wine. It just happens that that's what it does.
Like the things you're going to have pop up and on. And it's just, you know, it's not, you know, it's not a lot. It's not strong. It's not overpowering. But there are all these different things that are going to be, you know, if you start breaking it down, if you start taking everything and break it down step by step, then you will find all these different chemicals that are in, in, you know, in the glass of wine.
A lot happening.
Yes, yes, it is. You
know. Okay. Let me see. Let me, I don't know what this ID segment, all right. Let me play something real quick, and we'll give you a little break here. Rest your voice. I got to take a sip of my plantation spice I still have.
Yeah.
I have a few, just a few drops actually left of that in the bottle, so I need to go ahead and finish that, and we'll, let's, yeah, let's take a break real quick, and then we'll be right back.
After we do it, and we do more of it.
Do what?
Music. Oh, special events. And talk about wine on Thursday at 7 p.m. with Ron of the Florida Estates Winery. This is Chico Dog Live and Chico Dog FM. We're back with more Chico Dog Live. Featuring Ron of the Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
Ah, yes. Opened up another bottle. And we're back. Well, that was quick. I didn't come up with like a 5-minute thing or something, you know. I don't know. We'll think of something. But
do a potty break. They can't do it now with something that short.
No. Well, I could run the... 45 minutes of the Odds and Ends show, April from episode 17.
Yeah.
I'll rerun episode 17.
Episode 17 for a few minutes.
All right. So
I have to share this with you. I am having tonight. My wine is a Zinfandel, but this is something. Every state in the nation makes wine. You can travel around the country and visit wineries in every state. There is the most, obviously, is in California. There's over 3,000 wineries in California. Number two is Washington. Number three is New York State. There's lots of wineries in lots of states. I mean, we're talking 150 of them in bonded wineries in Ohio. You're talking over 150 of them in Pennsylvania. Missouri has 130. It just, everywhere you go, you can find wineries. Well, I ask customers, people who come in and visit our family and friends, to bring me a wine from a different state. I want to try to get a wine from every state in the nation. So far, I have 43 states. I'm missing only 7 states from not completing the entire country. And we share the wines in the class. I don't just sit around giggling and drinking. We actually share them in the class when we have a class. Monthly, and in fact, just last Saturday we had a class. There was 9 people in the class. Very nice class. It was a lot of fun. People were very good and had some good comments and all that. I always enjoy the classes because I always learn something from something that people bring up too. So it's always fun for me. And then the next class is coming up on the 20th of June, by the way. So that'll be something else we'll be bringing up on the program over the next couple of weeks. But I share the wine in the class, so it's not something that we just get in and just sit there and go bad or drink it myself. But the I had a wine from Nevada, and the bottle was a grapes that they had brought in from California. Well, it broke. The bottle had gotten broken, so I wrote the winery, and I explained to them that I was Ron Hunt with Florida Estates Winery. I was trying to get a wine from every state and nation. I had received one of their wines. I had a customer bring me one of their wines, and it had broken. Could they possibly send me another one to replace it? And then I said, I don't care what it was, anything, just as long as it's, you know, from your winery from Nevada. They sent me a Zinfandel from Nevada, which is the first harvest of a Zinfandel that has ever been planted and taken to maturity and used for wine in Nevada. Mm-hmm. Zinfandels have always been coming from California, and this is the first one from Nevada. Perump is the name of the wine.
Oh, yeah.
It is located in the Perump Hills of Perump Valley in western Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
This is a gorgeous wine. If they hear this on archives, or even if they're listening now, they can be very, very proud of themselves. They sent me a wine that's just absolutely gorgeous. It's got some great Zinfandel qualities in it, some great Zinfandel taste, good Zinfandel aroma. They did an excellent job on this wine. It's something that they can be very proud of. So if you are traveling the country or if you're out anywhere, be sure to stop in at local wineries, because there are some beautiful wines out there that some of these small wineries or different state wineries are making. You don't have to just stay with California or Washington, Oregon, New York, Pennsylvania. There's some gorgeous wines coming out of little known areas that you would never consider that would have a wine worth talking about. But this one is quite delicious.
Really. Yeah, I never would have imagined, you know, Nevada growing, you know, doing this actually, because I've actually been to Perump from outside of Las Vegas. It's southwest, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Really nice, really neat area of the country. But I would never imagine them, you know, much less a winery. I mean, the grapes and everything. That's incredible, and to put out such a good product. That's really good. Yeah, that's wonderful.
I was surprised by it too. It really was. It really is a quite nice wine. So, yeah, there's wineries everywhere. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go up to Kentucky and taste some wines up there in southern Ohio, and some really, really gorgeous wines coming out of the areas there. And wines in Missouri, Kansas, Iowa, I've had a chance to taste some of those. And there's, I mean, of course, a lot of the areas make their sweet wines, but then some of the wineries and some of the winemakers decide to jump out and see what they can do with other stuff. And there's some actually beautiful wines coming from around the country. Something that we as a country can be proud of, some of the stuff that we're putting out in wines. It's just really...
It's great.
And really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just all from Europe.
No. No, definitely not. Not
we,
from Europe.
We can do wine. We can do wine in this country.
We can. Yes, we can.
Yes. Oh, very good. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Let's see. It's getting dark. Okay. I have two monitors going. I'm trying to see what I'm... Okay, so I'm on page 2 now of my notes.
Huh?
I don't know. I'm just... you never know. Did you have anything? Okay, so coming up this weekend, then, you have another wine fest.
We have another wine fest Saturday.
Okay, and that's 10 to 3.
10 to 3. The winery's open until 6, though, but the wine fest is from 10 to 3. A variety of vendors.
Dave is going to be back.
Dave will be back. We've got Avon. We've got jewelry.
Keep in mind, this is a pre-recorded show from May 2009. So there is no Wine Fest this weekend or this Saturday at Florida State's winery. And let me see what else I can find for you. Second, eight, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Wine Fest was last Saturday. However, this Saturday, the 19th, there is a wine class. So if you want to attend the wine class, you can definitely do that this Saturday. It's not Wine Fest. You're listening to a Best Of show on wine bottles, and that's Ron was doing the presentation there on wine bottles, on All About Wine. Let's see, what else we have? The Florida State's Winery is, let me go ahead and shut that off. So I think they're talking about events that are not occurring. They were occurring in 2009. Oops. Okay, let me back out of that. And here we go. The wine class is this Saturday, the 19th of November. And you can join Florida State's winemaker, vineyardist, cellar master, and tasting expert, Ron Hunt, as he shares his experience and educational knowledge of wine in a detailed wine class. It is a lot of fun and a great way to learn something new about wine and give you some ideas of what is covered during the wine class. It's a three-hour class. There's a brief history of wines. You will learn the wine grape varietals, all about the grape diseases, which we've covered during our shows as well. But it's interesting to be there at the presentation and also meet with Ron. But wine class styles and use, wine glass styles and uses, cork history, evolution and uses, oak aging, wine tasting and rating wines. That's always interesting. And sampling of wines, which is one of my favorite parts as well, and a discussion as you're sampling the wines. So you do get wine tasting, snacks, dessert, and a logo wine glass when you go to the class at Florida State's Winery. Also, if you would want some more information on that, you can visit their website at www.floridaestateswines.com, floridaestateswines.com. Or you can give them a call at area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. If you go to the website, look around there for, I believe it's on the left-hand side, to where you can sign up for their newsletter. I get the newsletter like every 2 weeks or so, usually before the Wine Fest, so it's really cool. But there's always information about what's happening at the winery. It starts off with such as information for their tip jar that they have. Every month they select a certain charity, and if you go in there, you know, it's kind of like some people leave a gratuity or something like that. They put it in the tip jar, and that goes directly to the charity. It's very, very cool. And hold on just a second here. Let me check something. Nope. Come on. There we go. That was a little on-the-fly edit. I have to be ready with that one. Last month, I believe, they collected $249.09 for the Treats for Troops organization, which is they're local here, but they send all kinds of necessities to the troops overseas. And that's you know, just an example of what they do. This month, of course, the tip jar is for pancreatic cancer research. And what else? But there's information like that in there. There's information on the show, so you get a little blurb, a little ad there for the show. There's also Wine Fest details: who's going to be at the Wine Fest, the times, that kind of thing. They update that all during the news at the, you know, each newsletter. Information on the class is in there, and recipes towards the bottom. You're looking at every 2 weeks there's a recipe related to wine, and below that are wine facts, and I love reading the wine facts too. Those are interesting. So it's a really good read. You're not going to get spammed or anything from them. All you're going to get is this newsletter every other week, and like I said, it's usually around the time of the Wine Fest, the week of the Wine Fest. So definitely want to check that out and subscribe by going to the website, floridaestateswines.com. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, yeah, I'm still battling my cold, so I don't want y'all to hear me coughing. So, anyway, Florida State's Winery, that wasn't good. Florida State's Winery is open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., that's amazing. Every day, 7 days a week, except major holidays. So I'm guessing they will be closed this coming Thursday. However, we may be having a wine show, so stay tuned to the Facebook page, facebook.com. go to facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. You can like us on there, or you can just you know, see what's going on. And Ron is always posting new updates about what's coming up on the shows, what we've had on the show on the Facebook page. And that's a good way to stay up to date with us. Or you can also friend us right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a just waiting for that cough medicine to kick in any minute now. If you have a free account here on Blog Talk Radio, you can you know, become our friends on here, and that'll also keep you up to date because you will get email updates. Okay, so do I have an ad? No, I don't have an ad. be a good time to have that pre-recorded when I'm not sick. Florida State's winery is located at 25241 State Road 52, 25241 State Road 52 in Land Lakes, Florida. That is exit 285 on Interstate 75. Or wow, what happened there? Okay. Or you can go Suncoast Parkway, US 41, US 19. You would go east on State Road 52. And before you get to I-75, you'll see the signs. I-75. Before you see the before you get there, you'll see the signs to the Florida State's Winery. And real easy to get to, plenty of parking, and it's great to go there. It's also pet-friendly, so you can bring your pet and just enjoy a great day outside and inside the gift shop. But, yeah, you can do picnics out there and everything. It's great. Located 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes. Phone, again, is 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. You can email Ron and Florida State's Winery at corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com. Okay? So you have pretty much all the information. Let's see what else. Also, to let you know, December 1st, we will be back next. Well, we're thinking of doing a Thanksgiving show. Not too sure about that right now, but we're still in the planning stages. See if that's going to be a doable thing. So you might get a Thanksgiving show on the 24th, I believe it is. And if not, we will definitely be back on December 1st with Oklahoma. So you want to learn about wines from Oklahoma, and follow us as we continue with the states in the U.S. I just dropped something. If you want, we'll continue with the that was weird. The states in the U.S. with Oklahoma, and that'll be on December 1st. Let's see what else. There was something else I was going to mention. Also, December the 10th. Yeah, let me go back up here real quick. Hold on a second. There we go. December the 10th is another wine fest at Florida State's Winery, and they will be celebrating. It's also a birthday party. They'll be celebrating their 10th birthday, 10th anniversary. Florida State's Winery opened December 2001. It opened to the public in December 2001. So on December the 10th this year, they will be holding a wine fest, special wine fest, with their 10th birthday. There's going to be cake, all kinds of cool stuff, and a big celebration there at Florida State's Winery. So make plans for that on December the 10th. So let's see, what else? I guess that's good. Stop in there anytime. Like I said, open daily from 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. You can do tastings. You can, you know, definitely sample the world-class wines and just hang out. Meet Ron and Kathy and the gang over there and, you know, do some shopping while you're there. They have a neat gift shop with different wine-related items. You can get all kinds of stuff related to wine, you know, different corks, the what do you call those bottle things? you know. Okay, there you go. Something like that. Do I have that sound effect? Let me see if I have that sound effect. No. Yeah, that's not it. Somebody's at the door. All right, listen. I've got less than 90 seconds left in the show, and I want to thank you all for listening to us. And we'll be back either Thanksgiving, definitely on December the 1st with Oklahoma. So stay tuned for that. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. And, you know, if we don't come back Thursday for Thanksgiving show, have a great Thanksgiving. There you go. That'll do it for me. And why has that thing been cut now? That'll do it for me. So I will see you all. This is Mike on, you know, standing in for Ron for tonight on our Best of Show on Wine Bottles. Thank you all for listening. And I will see you next time. And have a great one. And thank you for listening. I already said that, didn't I? Okay. This concludes All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.